You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can only giving up a second thought about you now. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people,
where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life? Running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything goes well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you must do, can do, should do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must be done, you will get it done. That's right. You'll do it, brothers, and you won't whine about it. You won't pout about it. You won't procrastinate. You'll get it done because it must be done. And that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. That's why we love you. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, and 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. And at time for, at the top, you'll see podcasts. Hit that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, you can go to babaoshi.net. That's the shortcut. Whatever is your server, go to babaoshi.net. BABAOSHI.net. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Today, Monday, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and the Taki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. And that's from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. If it's Wednesday, it's the Black Farmers Report. The Black Farmers Report on Wednesday from 8 to 9. The Black Farmers Report. And then, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. Saturday, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. The Sankofa Elders Council on Saturdays from 7 to 9. Then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Everything, all those products are produced by us, brothers and sisters. So let's support one another. Let's seriously begin to support one another. It's vitally important that we do that. It's vitally important that we make that kind of connection. Let's support one another, brothers and sisters. Seriously. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba is taking our brothers and sisters to the motherland. Over 500 of us since 2006. He continues to do so. He has a trip. He has a tour upcoming next month,
May 24th to June 5th, 2022, to Ghana for $3,800. Then he has a trip upcoming. After that, November 17th to November 28th, 2022, also $3,800, going to Tanzania. Then December 24th to January 5th to Ghana. That's $4,000, $200 more. And then the trip that was postponed, it is now scheduled for March 31st, 2010, 2023 to Senegal and Gambia. That is still $3,800. He also has a trip to Liberia planned. July 20th through the 30th to Liberia, $3,800. And then he has a trip for South Africa, December 24th, 2023 to January 4th, 2024 to South Africa. You see, he ain't playing. He's far out ahead. He's already in 2024. $4,000 to South Africa. Brothers and sisters, go to a website, africafortheafricans.org. You see information where you can purchase land in Africa, the investment at the Black Star Repatriation, and the Pan-African community being developed in Ghana. Everything you need is on the website, brothers and sisters. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha Incorporated, brothers and sisters, they are doing the work. Habesha stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad, and they're doing the work, the projects that they have ongoing, the Habesha Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs, and of course the Kashi Project in Ghana. There's going to be a launch, a beautiful launch in October 8th through the 17th, October 8th through the 17th in Ghana. That's at HabeshaIncorporated.org, HabeshaIncorporated.org. The LEDGE program. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. They updated their website. Beautiful people that they are working with on the motherland. LEDGE deals with the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. And they have 12 projects in six countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, you too can become a member of the LEDGE group. Go to LEDGE Group.com, become a member. In fact, membership has its privileges. You can purchase land. That's right, you can purchase land in Tanzania. $250 an acre. $250 an acre, that's right. The LEDGE Group. Abibiatumi.com. Abibiatumi.com. Brothers and sisters, go to Abibiatumi.com. For all the events and things that are happening, make it a choice for your web browsing, shopping, and so forth. Abibiatumi.com. Man, I love Abibiatumi.com. Smai Pharmacy. Smai Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY. Smai Pharmacy. Give Brother Jabril a call at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229 at Smai Pharmacy. Or you can also email him at smaipharmacy@gmail.com. That's once again, smaipharmacy@gmail.com. Brothers and sisters, if you're planning on getting your health together more holistically, trying to get rid of the pharmaceuticals, trying to be more balanced, give Brother Jabril a call and he'll help you out, no doubt. Smai Pharmacy. Other programming, other things that we talk about here, a little discombobulated for the minute here because I'm looking at my screen here. I'm looking for things and they aren't there. I'll tell you. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, Thursday night at 9 p.m. Thursday night at 9 p.m., the Thursday night broadcast of Us Lifting Us, ULU. If you want to call to listen, you can do so. But if you want to call, give questions, comments, and concerns, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. Brothers and sisters, contact my brother, Brother Abijah, at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. If you're going to be in Macon or you're traveling through, going to maybe, I don't know, Savannah, whatever, going south of Atlanta on 75, you're going through Macon, stop and check my brother out at 2910 Napier Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia. Excuse me, in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah. That's Homeland Village. Man, he has everything right there. They even have a vegan restaurant. And they have clothing, furniture, videos, books. You name it, they have it. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the West End in Atlanta. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. They have delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and pastries and all kind of good healthy stuff for you. Even have vegan food on Saturday and Sundays. The Dada's located 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. The number to call is 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. The Dada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Also, too, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. Check her out. Give her a call. If you're looking for a book, she doesn't have it, believe me, she'll get it. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates. All kind of good stuff. T-shirts, figurines, yeah. Give her a call at 404-434-3263. 404-346. Got to get these numbers right. 346-3263. That's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, east of Atlanta. Yeah, suburb east of Atlanta. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Brother Kazim Diajamu is the proprietor and operator. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Also to the new Black Wall Street Market here in Atlanta, the new Black Wall Street Market, not open on Mondays and Tuesdays, but open on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The new Black Wall Street Market. Ackerman Institute. Ackerman Institute. Brothers and sisters, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah been doing outstanding. Oh, let me first do this. Apologize. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, contact Sister Shelley Amundsen at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. And Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, who has been doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, with the beautiful children. When you go to the website, sanjay-haiti.org, and you see what they're doing with the children for education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, just beautiful. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, sanjay-haiti.org. Ackerman Institute, brothers and sisters, make your check or money order out to Ackerman Institute to support Baba Baruti and Mama Yah and what they're doing in educating our young warriors. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. But of course, you can use PayPal. Go to Yah Baruti at yahoo.com or Cash App, $Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then B-A-R-U-T-I, Baruti. Also, too, Baba Baruti is a prolific writer. And in fact, we're going to be going to the Inye Sasim in a minute, as we always do. He's a prolific writer. And you can go to Akabin House for his fine selections of books and so forth. Akabin House. So we're going to go to the Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 3rd. To deculturalize American African children is, therefore, to deprive them of that which determines the way they think, feel, and behave. Felix Botan. We cannot afford to forget who we are and what we must do to return our truth to power. The penalty for our descendants is too high. They must be made to remember who they are, or they will be led even further into the blinding whiteness many of us run blindly towards. It is said that it only takes two willfully ignorant generations for people to completely lose their way. Conscious African adults must recognize, however, that regardless of how tough and vulnerable we believe ourselves to be, our children cannot be completely sheltered from an evil insanity without separating them from the call of insanity in a world where insanity rules. Western culture is consciously insidious, and the carriers of Western culture know that the best way to dislocate, fragment, and destroy people is to corrupt their children. To be someone other than ourselves is to be insane. To knowingly make choices which allow our children to be driven insane is unforgivable. Therefore, African logic dictates the need for an independent, separate, protected community in which we can rear our children into African adults, or all efforts will be naught. If we swim in the ocean of insanity, you're bound to get wet. If we are rearing our children to be true nation builders, we have no choice. There are chances absolutely we cannot take. Affirm, I'm returning to our truth to power. Affirm, I'm returning to our truth to power. April 4th. Knowledge is your ability to advance humanity. Bandele Tanchimba. Okay. We must commit time and energy to both study and action, and we must do it without question or hesitation. Sacrifice is key to development. It always has been, and it always will be. Self-denial is the first step in developing the self-control which systematically and subconsciously elevates one's will to the point of being able to re-Africanize ourselves. There is no progress without work. As such, these efforts should not be confused with divisive and reactionary concepts of separatism. This is destructive propaganda. If we cannot be African in their presence, then so be it. This is not to debate with Negroes, the consummate Europhilia, subintegrationists, assimilationists, and amalgamationists. This is a serious discussion among African warrior scholars on independent nation building. If we cannot be nation building Africans, correctly educating our children, learning of ourselves for ourselves, then there is no longer a question of our complete and utter destruction. Under any circumstances, in any place, with anybody else, we cannot be wholly and uncompromisingly African. Then they must go, or we must go. Regardless of where we choose to be, providing a model by correcting the African community will naturally provide an example for our communities to follow in correcting the world. European culture should not represent us in this or any universe. The worst of humanity, the worst of humanity should not serve as the epitome and apex of civilized culture. I say, affirm, I am holy and uncompromisingly African. Affirm, I am holy and uncompromisingly African. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. I sincerely always mean that. It was a good weekend for you. This past weekend, of course, was the first and the second, and that was Marvin Gaye's on April 1st. I never forget that one. Some deaths, just like today, is Dr. King's death, his assassination. We'll talk about that. But I'm going to talk about Marvin. In fact, I'm going to play Got to Give It Up, which to me, when Marvin put that out, that was like the dance album or the dance cut of the century. It came out in, what, 78? Somewhere around there. And then when Marvin was killed on April 1st, many people thought it was an April Fool's joke. You know? Yeah. April 1st. You know, some jokes can be so elaborate, you know, you might believe it. You know? Yeah. April Fool's. Yeah, Marvin was killed by his father in an argument. And so Marv's birthday is the second. His birthday, he died on the first, killed on the first, and he was born on the 2nd of April. And I think you would agree that what's going on is this just a dynamic album of consciousness. Marvin was just a great singer. Not just a great singer, man, but a beautiful man, a beautiful human being. And so we're going to play Got to Give It Up. One could argue we should play What's Going On I always do that. I always play that, but I haven't played the Marvin Gaye's dance anthem, the party anthem. I tell you, man. And we're going to do the long version, too. How about that? So, yeah. Yeah, Dr. King was killed this day in 1968, around 6 p.m. at the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis. He was there, of course, to deal with the garbage, the sanitation workers and their union to support them. He had the speech at the Baptist Church, the Church of God in Christ, in fact. Church of God in Christ. It wasn't a Baptist church, the Church of God in Christ, the day before. And he's getting ready to go to the rally and so forth that evening. And he's on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel, and he was killed. He was shot. And it is believed that James Earl Ray was the lone gunman, and he was eventually caught and convicted and imprisoned. But for some people, it didn't seem like that was the person. It was deeper than that. That's why Judge Joe Brown got involved. And Dexter King, Dr. King's youngest son, and had conversation before James Earl Ray made his transition, before he died. And I look at it this way. The government of this country, those who run this country, who have bamboozled so many of us so many times that we believe that the country, that's why sometimes when Brother Jay gets on and I say to him, reason why I'm saying what I'm saying, because the country says it says one thing and it consistently does another. So that's why I jammed. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I don't blame the Caucasian for doing what he does to maintain the ability to have the power and control that he has. I understand that. But I blame them because they're such liars. They're such prevaricators. They're always talking this and doing the opposite. I trust them not one bit. I trust this system not one bit. It's like, what's the most recent thing for us? Oh, yeah, the anti-lynching bill, which could not be passed for 200 times. 200 times these Caucasians in the Congress, in Senate and in the House could not pass an anti-lynching bill. Stop it. Now they passed it. And it really has no teeth. Many things that they pass literally have no teeth. They don't really put any energy into it, really stopping it. And of course, because these paranoid Caucasians are frightened. I don't know if there's a cartoon animated piece of when the country started. You know. And the fear that they have. That's why the Second Amendment is vitally important to them, that it never be amended, and that they always have access to guns. Always have access to guns. This is the most violent prone nation. In fact, Dr. King, on the day that he was assassinated, a man who preached nonviolence, who understood after, you know, studying Gandhi. And of course, Gandhi was a racist son of a bitch. And that's why, to me, I understand at the time that Dr. King looked at Mahatma Gandhi. And, you know, because Gandhi used to live in South Africa. And, of course, the Indians in South Africa have just as much disdain for our African brothers as the European. Because the Indian wanted to, of course, have access. But, of course, there was a hierarchy, a stratification. And they were in the middle somewhere. But, of course, us Africans at the bottom. And he maintained that mentality. That's why, to me, having a statue at the King Center is bogus. They should take that thing down. You know, he shouldn't deserve a statue at the King Center. It's bogus. Yeah. So Dr. King, you know, he said, I believe, and if it's part of that conversation with Herb Belafonte, he said, I believe that I'm trying to integrate my people into a burning building. You're right. But he also said, the United States, this government, is the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. They are. The United States is the greatest purveyor of violence on this planet. The United Snakes. So, you know, this conflict that's happening with Russia and the Ukraine, China and so forth, all of these things. It's maddening, but it is the mindset of a warlike people. It's maddening in today's world where climate issues are to me should be paramount, because that's the future. If you continue to allow the planet to get out of balance, where you have extreme weather conditions simply because of what you have done as human beings with pollutants, and polluting the air, the water. And were you still trying to get as much money as you can with oil and pumping oil out of... This is insane. This is insane. That's why, to me, for us as African people, the only salvation, if you want to talk about salvation, is for us to go home to work with Africans on the continent. Africans in the diaspora, go home to work with Africans on the continent. We have everything we need. Africa is the most richest continent on this planet. It has more resources still after hundreds of years of being raped and plundered by whoever, Arabs, Europeans, now Chinese, whoever, still. And we have every right to come together, to unify, and to say to the world, we are taking control of our land. Chinese, go back to China. Indians, go back to India. Arabs, go back to the Arabian Peninsula. And I'm talking about you mothers in North Africa too. I'm talking about y'all too. Take y'all asses back. We're reclaiming the continent, and we're going to put management on it. We're going to manage the land, manage the resources. We're going to take care of the infrastructure, build roads, highways, trains, ports, hospitals, schools. Link Africa up. You want resources from Africa? Yes, you can. There, you have it. What do you need? This is the cost. This is fair market value. You remember when I played that piece by Howard Nichols? So if you don't remember, for those who are like, a lot of people on the queue, that's great. A lot of people on the queue, and I thank you. And all you got to do is hit star twice if you want to get in on the conversation. It's kind of like an open mic Monday. If you want to get in on the conversation, just hit star twice. Yeah, Howard Nichols says we must keep Africa poor. Africa must not be in a position to develop. Africa must not be in control of its resources. Africa must be in conflict with one another. Tribalism, mysticism, bullshit. And no, we got to do this. We want these minerals there. We want them at the lease or free. We want them. Check it out. Go to YouTube. Howard Nichols. Go to it. In fact, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to do one better. I'm going to play it after the break. I'll go to it. I'm going to play it after the break. That'll spur our conversation. Because they're planning. They're planning. And our plan is constantly begging for us to be a part of what they are. I just read you the Inye Sesem and talking about how important it is for us to be African, to re-Africanize ourselves and to teach our children. You know, I don't know. You know, I know here in America, America is about individualism, materialism, greed and violence. It perpetuates that. It doesn't support family. Doesn't support relationships. It doesn't do the things that we as African people knew and understood to naturally do. All kind of perversions. So, I tell you, Dr. King was right. Right before he was assassinated. These people, the most violent prone people on the planet. Nobody has given me a good idea. I haven't read anything about why Russia is attacking Ukraine. Probably for resources, but who knows? And why China is at the ready to bust a cap in somebody's ass. Korea, North Korea. And these world bodies are ineffective to do anything because they're also corrupt. Because they do the bidding of Europe in America. The so-called Security Council of the UN can veto any damn thing. So if the so-called lower nations or lesser nations, whatever how words you want to use, come together because they're saying that we need to do this for our development of our nation, they could be vetoed. And no attention would be given to something that may be better for the earth, better for their country, better for the land. But I tell you, I'd rather, and I mean it, I'd rather live in a world of my own choosing and struggle in that world than to be a fool in somebody else's dream. This is the Europeans' dream. And the Europeans' dream will always be a nightmare for us. Now, I know there's some of us that are doing quite well. They're doing good. They're doing well. They have good jobs. They drive nice cars. They live in beautiful homes. Hell, here in Atlanta, there's communities where ain't nothing but us. With nice cars, nice homes, manicured lawns, immaculate inside. Even some of those places fail to come together to say, hey, listen, all of us in this subdivision here, all of us in this gated community here, cul-de-sac, whatever, let us pull our resources instead of driving a half hour, 45 minutes, to get somewhere we can shop and so forth, let us build a shop, a store, a few miles or less than a mile or so from here. There's plenty of land right there, right on the main street. Put that mall up, man. You know, when I first moved here to Atlanta, I lived in the Decatur area, you know, and I lived in Tucker, DeKalb County. I live in Fulton County now, which is the majority of Atlanta is in Fulton County. I live in Atlanta. I was living in Tucker, and I was going to a clinic over there because I had, my knees were killing me. My shoulder went bad. I had rotator cuff. But in that neighborhood, in that area, Indians were predominant. They have a strip mall. In that strip mall, they have a furniture store, a clothing store, a dine-in restaurant, takeout restaurant, a supermarket. Whatever the hell they need, they have. And other businesses in that, I'd say, five-block radius, these Indians have. And nowhere in Atlanta, 6 million people in the metropolitan area of Atlanta, and nowhere in Atlanta do we have something like that. And if we do, hip me, correct me if I'm wrong. And that's why when I talk about We Buy Black and their efforts to develop a supermarket here in the Atlanta area, so they can work with the black farmers and other American African businesses that provide goods and services. That's what we must do. And they've been talking about this for years. If you've listened to this program, and I've been on 7 years since I got here, but pretty much on Time for an Awakening the last 5 years. I've been on that long now. And us lifting us, excuse me, not a, We Buy Black, have been talking about doing this for at least the last 3 or so years. That money should have been easily raised. Easily. And the idea was to build one here, build one in Chicago, build wherever we are, where a good majority of our people are, so we can have a supermarket. a national chain of supermarkets that is us. And make sure that the level of service and the cleanliness and all the things that would attract anybody, but surely us, to go there and shop, provide jobs, especially for our young people, and open up more stores and more stores. It is frustrating, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's very frustrating. I'm going to start the break a little earlier because I said to you I was going to play Marvin Gaye. Got to give it up. And you know, that's a long cut. Yeah, but it's a jam, ain't it? You cannot go to a club and that song comes on and not hit the dance floor. Or if you're just chilling and checking things out, you'll know the dance floor will be full. So if you're going to just be checking out the dance floor, it is a good song for it because it'll get full. Yeah. Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye, Andy. Also, too, and anything you want to discuss, any issues, I won't be here the next 2 days. I noticed that we're not on TuneIn yet, but we are on Time for an Awakening. We are on Black Talk Radio Network and other methods of getting this radio program. And so I want to thank Brother Elliot and Brother Richard and thank Scotty Reed of Black Talk Radio Network. I want to thank them for providing this platform for me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I'm trying to set up some good guests to come on to further talk about what we must and need to talk about, and that is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. The model of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And that's why I'm adamant about coming here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and just providing that information and encouragement for us to do that. So I'm going to find something that hopefully you can find. I'm definitely going to find that Howard Nicholas piece. There's a piece, too, that Brother Paul from across the pond sent me. I'm going to play that with the American African soldier, some general, colonel, whatever, is talking to Congress or somebody, some bodied, you know, and what he's saying about Africa, how important Africa is. Everybody recognized the importance of Africa, but Africans. But Africans. And everywhere we are disrespected. We are relegated to the lowest rung of the economic ladder, or the poorest neighborhoods, the least desirable jobs. Everywhere. Everywhere. Reminds me of this movie. I think it was Stowaway. I believe it is. It was with Omar Epps. It's a true story because I also saw it when I was in Ghana. And it's about these Ghanaians who stole away on a ship, on a Russian ship, going to France, you know? And of course, when the ship lands in France, they all get off and seek asylum and seek jobs and so forth and maybe send for their families. I hate that fact. Better yet, it would be great to go jobs and send money back home and then make the money, and go on back home and build in Africa, go build in Ghana. But, you know, Omar Epps played the title character, and the Russians found them. And the Russians played a game, you know, finding them and killing them. Finding them and killing them and throwing them overboard. He was one of the last ones as they were pulling into the port in Paris. some of you may have seen the movie. I believe it's called Stowaway. I got to find out. I always like to give the correct information out to brothers and sisters who listen. But this was deep. So when they docked, they almost had him, and he got away. But one thing he did, because if he is an African, and even though these cats are Russian, they still what? They still white. They're Eastern Europeans. They Caucasians, just like the French and the English and the Germans and that. They're all the same. So if I'm giving you my story and you give your story, who is going to be believed? Unless I have somebody corroborate my story or back me up, or I've done something to prove what I'm saying. And that's what he did. He put a picture of him and his wife and his children into this bale of cotton or something, bale of beans or something. I don't know what it is. Might have been coffee beans, you know. Because he got off the boat and he went to the authorities, and they came there to talk to the captain. And the captain was some cat who was way nervous and so forth. But he talked to the dude who, particularly to the dude that who was in control of those men who were hunting them down. And this is what he said. He said, "We were doing you a favor not to let them come here, because nobody wants niggers. Nobody wants niggers." Sometimes there's a movie you see, and there's a part in that movie that you never forget. There's a saying, you know, that you never forget. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. Come back from the break, brothers and sisters. Please join us at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
I'm
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Marvin Gaye, got to give it up. I don't know about y'all, but y'all hung out in the queue, so hopefully you were listening. So I know your foot was tapping. You was moving. You was grooving. You can't help it. Got to give it up. Gone too soon. Like I said, when he was killed, it was April 1st, and everybody thought it was like an April Fool's joke, man, because he was still in the prime of his life, still making good music. And, of course, he was born April 2nd. Before I get into this piece, I know I'm going to play a couple pieces for you. A lot of y'all in the queues, I'm going to get to this right now so we can have some dialogue. But also, too, since I won't be here Wednesday and Friday, I'll be in Omaha, Nebraska. My best friend, his mom passed, and so I want to be there with him and the family to pay my respects. And my good friend Ron T, Omaha, Nebraska. But ASCAC is having a conference this Friday, this weekend, and you should go to ASCAC.org, ASCAC.org, and Eventbrite. This is their 38th annual Ancient Kemetic Studies Conference, Ancient Kemetic, 38th annual Ancient Kemetics Studies Conference, and it's 2 weekends. For the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, ASCAC.org. And you can get the information where it's free, really. But, of course, if you want to become a member, which you should, please do so. And the conference starts Friday at 7:45 or close to 8 o'clock, the opening and, of course, libation and our anthem, and then statements by the principals, Mario Beatty, who's the president, Dr. Kamal Rashad, who's the president of the Midwest Region, and Nana Galt, brother for the Eastern Region, and then Kusumi, the Western Region, and Sister Reba, president of my region here in the South, the Southeastern Region, Sister Reba Kelsey, Dr. Reba Kelsey, Baba Ronald McCoy, and the Mid-Atlantic, and Baba is on the building fund, Moriba Kelsey, her father, who's 94 years old, dynamic. Man, what a beautiful man. Great man. Still going strong at 94 years old, man. Believe me. And there'll be some videos and community conversation. And then on Saturday, Brother Greg Carr, Greg Kamathi Carr, I know you've seen him on number of things, and Brother Diallo Diop, who I had a chance to meet and talk with here. He's from Senegal, and he's going to talk about Dr. Chikanta Diop. He's not related, you know. I'm quite sure some names are just very prolific and very prevalent within particular countries. And then Mario Beatty, ASCAC in the Public Arena and the Power of African Knowledge. He has a presentation on Saturday at 3. And then the ASCAC Research Commission panel. Larry Crow, that's a good brother. Brother Larry Crow and Charles Grantham out of Chicago. Larry is moderating the ASCAC Research Commission. And he also is doing a thing on Woodson, Research Commission in Woodson, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, Huggins, and J.A. Rogers, and Hammurabi, the fathers of African restoration in Chicago prior to 1930. And then Kamal Rashad, president of the Midwest Region. Jacob Carruthers, Pan-African Historiography and the Future. Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Baba Jehudi. Yeah. And my good brother, LeGrand Clegg, attorney out of Los Angeles. Excerpts from the last program that came before Columbus on the new Black History Channel. And believe me, brothers, jot this down if you don't have it. The new Black History Channel. www.afra-pedia.com, Afripedia, AFRI-PEDIA. I'll repeat, Afripedia, AFRI-PEDIA.com. Man,
I'll be doing some work out of that. I went on the line and saw and checked out a few of the videos they have. And they start out with a piece with Ivan Van Sertima and the Omex. And they got all the good stuff on Renoco. And you know the work that Brother Renoco has done. So, and then Sunday the 10th, Aspects of Ma'at in the Book of Coming Forth by Day. Brother Samet, Dr. Samet, who was assistant professor at technology in Kenya. And then ASCAC created a production panel and all kind of good stuff, storytelling and so forth. And then Dr. Valethia Watkins, Mario Beatty's wife, Black Women in Power in the Politics of Resistance in Time of Trouble. And all kinds of, once again, all kind of good stuff. And then, of course, it resumes again Tuesday the 12th. Tuesday the 12th, Wednesday the 13th, Thursday the 14th, Friday the 15th, and Saturday the 16th, and it closes on Saturday the 16th. So I didn't want to go through all of it. But you can go through it yourself. You just go to eventbrite.com/e/38th Ancient Kemetic Studies Conference, April 8th, or go to ASCAC.org, ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. Got to do that, especially, man, if I didn't do that, I would feel real bad knowing that I'm not going to be on. I'm going to be a part of the conference, that's for sure. Let me play this one right quick. This is Brother Paul from across the pond sent me this. And this is a Army general talking to might be Congress or whoever about how important Africa is to the U.S. Africa is not important to the U.S. Africa is not important to Europe. Africa is not important to anybody but themselves. And when I mean that, they're not important in terms of, and I know I'm speaking to y'all who's like the choir. You know what I'm saying. Africa is important to them strategically for what they can get out of Africa. They don't give a damn about Africans.
What's up, family? This is your man, not your boy. Go Black to Africa. I want you all to listen to this video very closely. As the American General of African Command explains why his top five things about Africa is important, but yet pay very close attention to his second reasoning. I'll be back.
Chairman Reed, Ranking Member Inhofe, distinguished members of the committee, good morning. Thank you for inviting me to appear today, even as the eyes of the world are focused on Russia's lawless attack on Ukraine, an unjust war which impacts Africa as well. For nearly 3 years, it's been a great privilege, the privilege of my career, to represent the dedicated members of U.S. Africa Command. Thank you for your steadfast support for them and for our mission. I'm here this morning with my battle buddy and command senior enlisted leader, Sergeant Major Richard Thresher, and my friend, General Frank McKenzie, as we make our final appearances before you. Our joint testimony highlights continued and pressing challenges and opportunities faced by our respective commands and our nation. Together with our interagency teammates, U.S. AFRICOM protects and advances U.S. strategic interests, prevents strategic distraction, and preserves America's options, all in concert with our allies and partners. As AFRICOM's fifth commander, I have come to learn five truths about Africa. First, America cannot ignore Africa. Africa's challenges, opportunities, and security interests are inseparable from our own. Weak or poor governance, conflict, and climate change stress the stability of many African nations, which will in turn impact U.S. security and prosperity. Second, our competitors clearly see Africa's rich potential. Russia and China both seek to convert soft and hard power investments into political influence, strategic access, and military advantage. China's economic and diplomatic engagements allow it to buttress autocracies and change international norms in a patient effort to claim their second continent. Russia stokes conflict, pursuing a faded aspiration to imperial power. Across the continent, mercenaries from the Kremlin's Wagner Group offer a one-shop stop for regime protection, resource exploitation, and horrific violence against Africans, just as we see in Ukraine today. Third, deadly terrorism has metastasized to Africa. Al-Qaeda's Al-Shabaab in East Africa and ISIS and Al-Qaeda groups in West Africa and elsewhere are among the world's fastest growing, wealthiest, and deadliest terrorist groups and remain grave and growing threats that aspire to kill Americans, both there and in our homeland. Fourth, a battle between democracy and authoritarianism is raging across Africa. Despite a recent surge in democratic backsliding, our values, our democracy, and our willingness to work together with African partners creates a huge demand for U.S. engagement and partnership. Fifth, in Africa, a few troops and a few bucks still goes a long way. Modest and predictable investments yield outsized returns for U.S. and African security interests. As an economy of force and posture-limited theater, AFRICOM employs just 0.3% of DOD's operating budget and manpower. Modest investments today can yield a continent of partners tomorrow. We are most effective when we synchronize diplomacy, development, and defense, so we are grateful for your continued leadership and backing to help field our whole of government leaders by confirming ambassadors and funding the State Department and USAID. Thanks to the authorities and resources you provide, and for your continued interest and support in the capabilities that AFRICOM requires to accomplish our mission. In summary, U.S. AFRICOM remains cheap insurance for America's security. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions.
Well, thank you very much, General Townsend.
What do you think? Now, let me break this down for you all, okay? If you missed it, he is sitting here explaining that Africa has everything America needs. Without Africa, America will have lack of security. Without Africa, America will have a lack of resources. Without Africa, America will not have a leverage over China and Russia. You see, even though he says that Africa is weak in its security and, you know, the corruption or the instability of government, that America should seize the moment. And I hope that you pass this on to every African leader, governmental official, or person that is even a citizen, so that we can see and share. We can do a lot more in building than we actually think. We can actually see what we actually have in Africa that all the other countries lean upon for their riches, for their securities, for their whole life of living. Africa, the place that all countries depend upon. If you even think about this, during this Russia and Ukraine war, 8% of America's oil come from Russia. Only 8%. But it caused a staggering hike in gas prices to about a dollar. How does 8% of oil coming from Russia can hike the price of gasoline by $1? This shows you the importance of everything when it deals with trade, whether it might be Africa's oil, whether it might be its diamonds, its gold, whether it might be this cobalt and this soil and other minerals and other things that is used for everyday living, that we have to understand the world stands on, needs, depends upon. Now, Africa is a vast continent. I mean, there's so much land and so much space. They can't just come in and try to take and seize all of it, but they can come in and get some of it. So much of the untapped soil of Africa still lies within its confines of the continent that waits for you and waits for me to get land, to grow, to build manufacturers, distributions, to do whatever it is that we are able to do. But this general basically pointing fingers at China and Russia, leveraging a home in Africa, puts an insecurity in America, so that then it must, they, America, have to be involved with Africa in order to keep an eye, to have a foothold, to be a step above its competitors. Now, when African leaders see this all happening, then they will be able to look at how they're being used. Now, I'm going to answer this question that many people have asked me. If you show Go Black all of these videos, and some of them are showing the disadvantages Africa have against these giants, why are you saying Go Black to Africa? I say that because, look, at the end of the day, you got countries and other countries trying to leverage and trying to take over or trying to position themselves within their economies of making business and, you know, trying to compete against other competitors in all these countries and continents. It is not a colonized effort to overtake a people. It's about trying to control a resource. Look at China and America. They got a port they own in California. Look at America, got military bases all over the world in other countries. It goes on and on. The problem of Africa is it hasn't put a footprint in other countries in establishing businesses that can go ahead and its continent reward itself off of making money off of other people's property. OPP, y'all remember the song, You Know Me? So I'm saying Africa needs to wake up and realize that the leech is sucking you dry. That it is only there to feed off of you. This is your man, not your boy. Go Black to Africa.
Think about it. 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 Think about it.
Yeah. All over the world. Military bases, and he's trying to suck us dry. This is Howard Nicholas. I'm going to play a snippet. This is only about 6 minutes long, 7 minutes long. There's a couple of them here. If you go to YouTube on Howard Nicholas, there's some of them are long presentations that he has done. Basically all the same thing is why Africa must remain poor.
Africa has been fundamental to the global prosperity of the advanced countries. Okay? And Africa had a role to play. It has a role as a raw material producer. We will not allow sub-Saharan Africa to escape that. Okay, we do everything to keep sub-Saharan Africa where it is, also impoverished. It's absolutely vital for the prosperity of everyone else. So let's get clear about that. Okay, and this means all the economic structures, all the global institutions and the economics we teach everyone is all designed to keep Africa exactly where it is. And whether it is Europe or US or now China, it's always the same. We need Africa to be impoverished because we need those raw materials and we need them dirt cheap. Okay, so that's the message. It doesn't mean to say that there's nothing Africans can do. Of course there is. Okay? But this is the opposition that they're fighting. This is what it's about. Because if Africa does do something different, I assure you living standards of all those in Europe and North America and Asia is going to fall. Okay? And that is a big price to pay. I assure you that the West is not going to allow that without a big fight. Okay, so this is what it's fundamentally about. What I want to show you is how these structures are operating. It's just 20 minutes, so we can't do very much, but just to give you a little bit of an idea. And why I keep the ideology part there is because we are part of the producers of ideology. At universities and academic institutions, we are complicit in this whole enterprise. Okay, so the job of many Western academics is to convince Africans they have to keep doing what they're doing. Okay? And to show them, it's your fault that you're poor. It's not our fault. It's your fault that you're poor. You know? So this is what we do in academic institutions, and I want to show that as well. We just start. This is what it's basically about, so you know what it's about. But I want to just show you the extent to which Africa is specializing in the production of raw materials and basic agricultural goods. We know the basic forces that have caused this underdevelopment. We know it's colonization. I will not discuss that very much because my colleague speaker is going to go into some aspects of this. But I do want to discuss the global economic structures, the global financial institutions, and economic ideology, briefly, to give you a flavor of those. Let me start with this. You can't really see it so easily, but if those of you who are interested, you want the PowerPoint, I'm sure we can make it available to you. But the thing that you really need to see is the top line. Okay? And the extent of dependency is captured by this statistic at the top. Okay? And you compare it with all other income groups, and what you see is essentially in that one statistic how dependent sub-Saharan Africa is on raw material production. Okay? This is the very heart of what makes sub-Saharan Africa beat. Okay? Here, just to have a look at one very important additional statistic, with all this export coming from sub-Saharan Africa, how much does sub-Saharan Africa account for in terms of global trade value? We know there are vast resources coming from there, but look at the bottom line in terms of global trade value. Look at that. 0.5% 1975, 0.95% going down to 0.1, meaning that with all this vast resources being produced, how much are they getting for it? Nothing. This is a very significant piece of data. Then I just want to show you what has happened to sub-Saharan Africa, because what we know, and from all studies, no country ever develops without manufacturing. Okay, producing raw materials will not take you anywhere. Producing basic agricultural goods will not take you anywhere. And let's have a look at how much manufacturing activity takes place in sub-Saharan Africa. We can look over the last 15, 20 years. And we see manufacturing has actually declined as a percentage of the total. This is percentages of total production in sub-Saharan Africa. How much of it is accounted for by manufacturing? So this figure here is 17% of the total. Most of the rest, when we talk of industry, it includes manufacturing, but the bulk of it is mining. Okay? Raw material extraction. This is the bulk of it. And here we see actually raw material extraction has stayed the same. What has caused industry to fall is the fall in manufacturing production. This is deliberate because we will never, as Western economists, as Western policymakers, we cannot afford to allow Africa to industrialize and start producing manufactures. Okay, so we will do everything to stop that. And I'm going to show you how we actually block that.
I don't know about y'all, but every time I see that son of a bitch, I want to go through the screen and just beat his ass. Man, it's so frustrating. It is so frustrating. And I'm not sure how old that clip is. I'm quite sure it might be, you know, maybe 10 years old, maybe older. I don't know. It's been happening. And the one reason why it continues to happen is Africa's inability to step outside of those imposed boundaries that these son of a bitches have placed upon us and to release the vice grip that they have on our minds to develop functional unity. To develop functional unity. Get rid of all the mysticism, the religious, Christianity, Islam, all of that. Put in your back pocket. I ain't saying for you not to be a Muslim or a Christian or any other religion that you have. Religion is the crux of one of the crux of the problems. The number one thing that we all should hold in our hearts and minds is that we are an African people. And if we come together and we unify, we have all that we need. The only thing that we don't have is our right minds. Brothers and sisters, let's join this conversation. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We got many people in the queue here. Just hit star twice and join the conversation. Let's have some conversation with each other on this. Like I said, I won't be here Wednesday and Friday. I have a service to go to. One of my best friends, his mom passed. And so I will be gone. But believe me, when I get back, and I'm going to try to get some good, some more guests. We're going to try to pump it up. Because, you know.
Hey,
yes. 267.
Yeah,
hey, what's up, Jay?
Hey, listen. I got a little birdie in my ear telling me today that you said the white man ain't doing what he's supposed to do towards black people.
No, he's always doing what he should do towards black people for his benefit. I never said that. I don't know. You know, what I was saying is that what you say is that the, you know, you don't blame the white man for doing what he does. And what I was saying is this, is the deception, is the lies. See, so when you're saying that we're all in this together and this we're young, you know, one country and we're undivided, you know, all that bullshit, you know, that's the crux of the problem because we've been trained to believe them. We fall for the constant okie doke. And they keep throwing
so
it at
I
us.
Train you, if I train you to be obedient, don't you think I got to keep on training your black ass to be obedient?
Well,
so
but then,
that
but
would
see,
make me that would make me do what I had to do to keep you
right
online and then on point, right?
Well, see, now then the question remains, whose fault is it? It's like I had a discussion one time about, you know, with a group of people about how they control our minds and then who's really at fault. You know, if I'm controlling your mind and I'm dictating to you and I'm telling you and I'm showing you and I'm making you do what I want to do, who's really at fault? You're not, because damn it, you don't know. I got your mind. I am, because I'm controlling you. But yet we blame ourselves and we blame each other without putting the onus on who is really at fault, who really controls this. See?
Well, Oshie, at this point in our development, I would have to agree and disagree with you. Because the reality is this. Most black people live on the assumption that they want what the Yoruba has. Most black people who find themselves in that position don't understand three key principles that if we as African people understood, we would probably be in a better position. Number one, who and what is the Yoruba? Culture and our desire and fight for sovereignty. If we understood those three things, then we would definitely be in a total different headspace and position in this country. Because, see, one of the things is we don't understand what the white man is. We don't even see him as the enemy. We see him as someone to want to be like, emulate, have the things that he has. So, I mean, you know, it's, in a sense, as my man says, it is what it is. Because until you can get to the point to where you see the white man for who he is, you're going to always be in this trap. Because he has to do everything within his power to keep you in this trap so that he could continue to flourish in the manner in which he flourishes for his survival.
All right. So just saying that, and you know I don't, and you know I agree with that. I understand that. It's the same thing Howard Nicholas was just saying. You know, it's imperative that we do not let these things happen. You know?
Yeah. All right. So just saying that.
Right.
And you know I don't. And you know I agree with that.
Yeah. So let me get to another.
We're in a real crazy position. Because unfortunately, you have people who talk about being African, but don't live no African lives. Don't believe in the principles and the values of being an African. Don't really want African independence and liberation. Damn sure don't want to follow through on certain cultural principles that don't benefit a good time. You know what I mean? If you look at the where we are now, name me, and I really hope you can do this, O, because I've been thinking about it. Name me five places, think about this, five places in this country that has a thriving black community.
I can't.
On the same level.
I can't.
Let me finish.
I'm going to let you know right now.
Now, what do that tell you? Now, hold on 1 second, Oshie. If you can't name me five and I can't name you five, what do that tell you about the state of black America? Now, I can tell you that about every other ethnic group within this country. Every other ethnic group has a thriving place in each state which deals with their own ethnic group. The Italians have it. The Chinese have it. Even foreigners that have come into this country in the last 20, 30 years have it, aka perfect example, the Red Beards, whatever the hell they are, Arabs, or I don't know what the hell they are, in Detroit. Think about that, bro. Think about that. So if you as an elder, you are elder, mind you, you are elder, a teacher. You know, if you can't name five, that just show you how much of a effed up position we really honestly are. And we need to examine that and move forward from that position right there and figure it out.
I hear you. Okay, Jay, you hold on. 267, right. 267, 267, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie. Hey, brother Ralph, how you doing?
Hey, Ralph, how are you, brother?
Hey, man, I'm fine, brother. Hey, no, I'm listening to the conversation. I was listening to the person talk about, you know, Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it, and you got to be you got to be honest about this point, Oshie. Do we really appreciate and take care of the things we own here? So, you know, you're talking about an entire continent. But yet we don't even take care of the things we have here, like black-owned businesses. We don't support
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can't really necessarily, because I did have this position at one time, but I'm not going to blame the imams and the pastors and this, because those aren't the ones that's going in our neighborhood, robbing our elders, slinging drugs in our neighborhood. We don't even take care of what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And so how in the hell are we supposed to take care of a continent and go back home when we got these ignoramuses who just causing chaos in our community and we won't even take care of them?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, brother, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But the responsibility lies on us. We've been
you're
in this country for, because I heard a group of Africans on this program, and they were basically mocking us, man. They said, y'all been over here over 400 years and still ain't figured out shit out yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're in this country getting the benefits. So they don't even appreciate what's back home. They're over here mocking us. Africans mocking African American, well, us. You know, I'm going to say Africans in America.
That's what they are. But these
were Africans. These were Africans.
Yeah.
Mocking us. And I heard the conversation, man, they talked about us like a dog. But the thing about it, I had to see if any of it was true. And a lot of it's true.
Mm.
We love to be trifling, man. Look at this garbage we're on. I mean, that's constantly pushed on our throat. Yeah, I know the Yoruba behind it. Yeah, I know. But that don't mean we got to partake in it.
Right.
That don't mean we got to. So a lot of that responsibility belongs on us, man. And I'm going to stick to my guns and say, just like the brother, the lawyer from New York City, he said it plainly. He said, without ethics, reparations or none of that stuff would do us any good.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we go back and create our, we need to focus on ethics and stop clinging to the trifling crap that I'm seeing going on in our carjackings. They're taking cars now, crashing in the back of you. So, you know, you get out to get the insurance information, you got a gun to your head. Man, this stuff is getting crazy, man.
Wow.
And I want to leave you with this, bro. I want to, hopefully Brother Paul is listening, because somebody sent me an article this morning said that coronavirus thing is like, it had like 5 million people get infected in one day. So I want to know if that's true or not, or this is the propaganda that they're pushing because it's going to come this way again. For another lockdown. And I believe that's what it is. And plus, these vaccine makers ain't making the money that they wanted to make. And I believe this propaganda campaign is coming our way again, because Big Pharm said, look, people ain't taking this garbage no more. We need to create another, we need to create more fear and this, that, and the other.
Right.
Unleash this. Because I'm looking at these chemtrails right now. We need to release this garbage on them again, so they'll be running and standing in line to get this garbage injected in their veins. So, you know, I just had to leave us with that, brother. It's a hard thing, but we got to look in the mirror, man.
Yeah.
If we don't look in the mirror, ain't nobody going to come to our rescue. And I'm going to say this, too. I just got finished riding through South Philadelphia. Man, you might as well call it Mexico now. And I realized, like, the brothers and sisters out there in Los Angeles, when I rode through Skid Row, it's going to head to Philadelphia soon, man.
No, that Skid Row in L.A. is serious, ain't it? Man, it's serious.
Oh, man, it brought tears to my eyes,
wow,
man. But it's heading to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I probably
you can,
major.
You can be in that Skid Row. You could be in. Oh, it is. Because you can be in that Skid Row, and you can just look at the beautiful skyline of downtown L.A., just like here. The Skid Row is right near
here. It is downtown.
You know?
It's right downtown.
Listen, Ralph. Reverend Dr. Leon Sullivan, his mall, how is that? Is it still functioning? Is it still something that a lot of people patronize?
Asians own it all, but other than that, that tells
God
you something.
Damn, yeah.
So anyway, brother, I'm going to continue listening.
All right,
the
I appreciate
phone,
you,
but,
man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But it's time for us to take a look in the mirror, man.
Yeah. It's
the
bedtime.
The blame game, we're 400, 500 years past the blame game. We got to start looking in the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
We got to do better.
We got to do better. Right on.
And Brother Baruti, I got his DVD collection. Man, I was on a binge this weekend.
Right on.
Yeah. So, all right then, brother. Right. You have a good one, man.
You too, Brother Ralph. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you, man. Yeah. Just hit star twice, brother. We got a lot of folks in the queue here. Hit star twice to join the conversation if you want to, or give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. It's kind of like an open mic Monday number of things that are happening. I still want to go into Baba Baruti's book, Identity. And one of the topics I wanted to talk about was culture, because that's the problem. We don't have our culture. We have here in America, we have a subculture because we've been alienated from the dominant culture. And this is something very, very seriously, because the development of that subculture is all kind of just like what Ralph was saying. People who have no integrity, people who are willing to do whatever to get ahead because we're in America. And so I also agree with Ralph that the ultimate blame goes to those who have perpetuated the situation, but there's some serious blame on our part for not stepping out of it, looking at it for what it is, and then doing for ourselves. We keep thinking that we can change this. We keep thinking that somehow we can use a moral persuasion and make these folks, you know, respect our humanity and treat us fairly and treat us justly, and then there'd be some fairness. No, it never happened. It's not happening, and it ain't going to happen. And no, so, but yet, that is the mode that we're constantly in. And one of the things that keeps us in that mode is the theologies that have been impacted upon us, man. You know, to me, if it's not African, it ain't good for us. If it's not African, Islam is not African. Christianity is not African. Black Hebrew Israelites is not African. All of these, and they're all at each other, and it keeps us at each other, you know? So, yeah, there's enough blame to go around. And yes, the responsibility is ours. The responsibility to get us up out of this madness, out of this insanity, it is ours. But what do you see? What do you read? What do you, you know, what do you ingest? What music do you listen to? What programs do you watch? What activities are you involved in? All of these things. But I'll tell you one thing. If you feel that all the things that are happening, all the stuff that is on the television, all the other things that are happening in society, and you know it's not right, and at least there's a place that you can go to hear somebody talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, sovereignty for African people, and how we must begin to trust one another, love one another, respect one another, work with one another. And I ain't just talking about somebody in your city, somebody in your family, somebody in your state, in your country. I'm talking about global. A global African connection. We are an African people. Hell, we still can't even deal with, is it Africa? Because many of our people still believe that Africa is named after Scipio Africanus, who defeated Hannibal in Carthage. Many people believe that, because that's one thing that I was very upset about with the Hidden Colors series, because Phil Valentine said that shit, and he should know better. To me, anything that we put out, make sure it's verified, it's researched, and look at our scholars and our historians. In fact, I'm a boy home team. He put out a piece, you know, isn't Africa the real name? Of course it is, you know. But that's another thing that keeps us in conflict, keeps those divisions, keeps us at each other. We need functional unity. How can we achieve it? How can it be done? One thing that we must educate ourselves and each other. That's why Baba Baruti, who was educating students at Morehouse, you know, decided, no, you know, because some of these folks, their minds already made up about the direction they want to go, the jobs that they want to get, how they want to live. They ain't thinking about being African. They're thinking about being black. They're thinking about being black in America and what that means. So he and his wife are teaching the young, making some brothers and sisters warriors in defense of Africa to nation build. And the only place that we can do that is on the continent. And the only place where we can do that safely should be on the continent. Because you know we can't do it here. You know, when Ralph said, where's a place like that? And he just told me about Reverend Dr. Leon Sullivan, who had a mall like that. You know, I remember hearing about it. I remember back in the early 80s. And now a lot of Asians have stores in that mall. Just like when I was in Baltimore, a good friend of mine, she doesn't live there in that neighborhood anymore, but in that particular neighborhood, there's a big strip mall. Everything in that strip mall in Baltimore, what is Baltimore, 70% us? Everything in that strip mall was owned by Koreans. The laundromat, the liquor store, the grocery store, the restaurant it's a carry out or dine in, small dine in area, mostly carry out where they wait a food. I don't know if you have a place like that in your city, you know. So not only do they, of course, have some Korean or Chinese food, some shrimp fried rice, but no, they have, you know, whatever else you think you might want to eat, soul food. And it's run by Koreans. And if you go to their communities, you ain't going to find an American African doing a damn thing but buying. He ain't going to be working there. He ain't going to be an entrepreneur there. He ain't going to be selling them nothing, because ain't nobody going to buy from his ass or her ass. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you, all of many of you who are on the queue here. As I always said, if you want to speak or got a question or comment or concern, hit star twice. We can dialogue. I look forward to this. We have a new system and it's cool. We may not be on TuneIn yet, but you can listen online at timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network and on BB Atumi. Yeah, I'm not sure of all the particulars to those, but, you know. So as we wind down, I just want to thank Brother Elliot and Time for an Awakening and Brother Scotty Reed for this platform. I really appreciate it. It's going to always get better. And I'm always trying my best to do better, to present to you the information that we need, that will help us be self-determining, be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. That is the end game. That is the ultimate choice, because it is Pan-Africanism, or we're going to perish. Either we unify or we're going to die. That's the bottom line. There is no, for those who believe, that there's some savior out there, there's some other methods, you can go ahead with that. You can go ahead with that. But the fact is, that's a prayer. That's a hope. That's a belief. We need truth. We need honesty. We need commitment. We need to begin to love and share one another. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate it. Also, too, once again, to remind you about the ASCAC conference this weekend. Begins Friday. Go to ASCAC.org, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization. Okay? ASCAC. ASCAC.org, and you can access the information about the conference, become a member, and it's been a serious itinerary, and of course it's two weekends. So alright, we end this program once again like we end all of these programs with the words of Stephen Biko: the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program, brothers and sisters, is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahore means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a great day. See you next week. Peace, family.
Odeo.